most of my family lives in central Illinois, and I love to drive up there to see them. When I go, I have to cross the Mississippi River twice, once at Memphis and once at St. Louis. And every time I cross the Mississippi River at St. Louis, I'm just fascinated. On the bridge, somewhere near the middle, there is a sign that says Illinois State Line. And I think, how can you divide the river into states? Like, that part behind you of the river is Missouri, and this part ahead of you is Illinois. It just seems very strange to think that we're saying that this part of the river belongs to one state and that part belongs to another state. It is a living and flowing thing. Now, the sign is probably carefully placed using latitude and longitude, but I still wonder, how do you divide a river? The last few weeks, I talked about several obstacles which keep us from loving our neighbors. I talked about pride one week, about prejudice, about our need for certainty. But what lies at the heart of all of it? I believe that what is at the heart of all of our separation from our neighbors is our instinct to divide what cannot be divided. We put ourselves above others with pride. We separate ourselves from others with prejudice. We shut out other voices with our certitude. So what is the answer? The way to get around, or even better, to stop constructing those obstacles which keep us from loving our neighbors. We have to figure out a way to stop dividing the river. As human beings, we are given life, not spiritual life and physical life. We're given one life, flowing, living, and infused with the presence of God. We cannot ever divide the holy from the common or the secular in either places or persons, any more than we can divide a river by drawing a line. Our God is a living God, and our God lives in this world with us. We cannot separate the holy from the secular. We cannot separate ourselves from our neighbors by just saying it is so. Our reading today from the prophet Amos says, "Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale?'" Going on to say that the people are buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. This reading speaks of a time when the people who were flourishing economically were also religious people. And so they knew that they were not supposed to do business during the time of the new moon. So they were just waiting anxiously for that time of the new moon to pass, and for each Sabbath to pass, to fast forward past God's time, to get to the time when they could again take advantage of their neighbors. Conscience, or lack thereof, allowed them to blithely go on cheating other people as long as it fell in the right part of the calendar. They divided time. They thought, there is God's time, and then there is business time. I would call it cheating time in that context, but they probably didn't. We can't so easily divide things. We can't divide the world into sacred and secular. We cannot keep business and work separated conveniently from religion. We cannot keep our poor neighbors separated from us. Our world is in need of healing, and it has become scarce and ineffective. The problems are overwhelming. We think of them, perhaps, as someone else's problem. We see a system that is massive and out of control, and we figure that we can't change it. We think it's not fair for me to work at all. It's not fair for me to work if others won't do their share. Or we say, it's God's work and not mine. None of those distinctions really hold up. We're trying to divide the river, the living and flowing river. Those are our people. We are the ones to do it. We have been saved, empowered, inspired, transformed in order to be God's healers. We are to stop looking outside ourselves for a force to change the world. This country and this faith tradition are gifts to us and to the world. We are all God's people, and the healing must begin with us. I hope that there is mercy and great compassion in the church, the wider church. But if so, why isn't it seeping out, or better yet, gushing out into our society? Why isn't that happening? Why isn't human culture thriving? Persons and societies finding healing? We are one of the most advanced cultures in the world. And yet, people are hungry here. People are without shelter here. People suffer here. We shouldn't divide those who suffer from us. We can find ways to justify our actions or our inaction. We can rationalize things we have done and left undone. But to my mind, we have to do something. We are one with the people who thrive and the people who suffer. We are all part of the body of Christ, which cannot be divided. The Holy infiltrates all that we do, not only religious days and religious practices, but every day. Not only the Sabbath and the day of the new moon, but every day in which we encounter God's people. And they are all God's people. We are God's people every day of the week in every decision that we make. Otherwise, we are trying to divide a river. Our collect for this day in the church calendar says, "Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that endure." We want to see earthly things and heavenly things as completely separate. We want to separate ourselves from other human beings through pride, prejudice, certitude, and many other techniques. But we are the body of Christ, each of us, all of us. Life isn't them or us. It isn't secular or sacred. Everything is holy. We do not have a physical life separate from the spiritual life. Our instinct nowadays, especially in this troubled world, is to say that nothing is sacred. In fact, everything is. God, neighbor, time, work, family. Everything is sacred, or nothing is. We cannot divide the river.